Today we reflect on the parable of the talents. One servant gets five, one servant gets two, one servant gets one. Let me begin by noting that the modern first impression of this parable is very different from the ancient first impression. The modern person, I'm not talking about people who are used to pondering the word and who love the Lord and who accept that he's good, but the typical secular mind looks at a story like this and his first reaction is, that's not fair. That's not fair. One gets five, one gets two, one gets one. And then this man who received only one talent, the modern mind looks at him and says, well, that poor guy, he only got one, and then even that gets taken away from him? It's not fair. If God is so unfair, well, why should we follow him? Why should we submit ourselves to his ways? He's so unfair. Now, that is not the way people of Jesus' time would have heard this. Or any time, probably maybe 16, 17 centuries since Jesus gave this, people understood that we don't all have the same. And that's just the way it is. It's not fair or unfair, it's just reality. But with the rise of development of modern thought, not all bad, of course. I mean, there's greater understanding of human dignity, greater understanding of human rights. So modern times have overcome some of the errors of the past. But the modern times have also come up with this idea that everybody should have the same. If you want to see extreme versions of this, you can look at the more radical feminists. And they say, well, if there are 50% women in a society, well, then 50% of the CEOs should be women and 50% of the coaches of teams should be women and 50% of the athletes should be women. And that, and they said, because we should all be the same. Otherwise, it's not fair. Some approaches to racial tensions come up with this craziness too. If there's 20% blacks in a city, well, then there should be 20% blacks CEOs. There should be 20% black teachers and 20% blacks in the jails, and all the same. It should be equal. And then the people countering those arguments say, well, do you want to limit your professional basketball team to 20% blacks? They say, no. So it's all crazy. It's the idea that everybody should start with the same, have the same, and produce the same amount. Otherwise, it's not fair. That's not where Jesus is starting. The fact is, we don't start with the same amount. Some people come from rich families. Some people come with very good minds. Some people come with very strong constitution. Some are born with particular talents for different physical activities. Some people have temperaments that are good for this and some for that. We're all different, in fact. And that's not unfair. That's just the way it is. It would be terrible if everybody was exactly the same and had exactly the same. In fact, if that were the case, we wouldn't need each other. What we would have is, what would I need from you? I have the same thing you have. What do you need from me? You already have what I have. We would end up having no society. We would all be individuals with the same. Not only would it be boring, but it would ruin the whole human experience. But that's not the way it is. What I have, you don't have. What you have, I don't have. What one person has, another person doesn't have. Even the people who have five talents, they don't have the same five as the other person that has five talents. It's all different. So we depend on one another to make a gift of the gifts we have received so that everybody can benefit. as soon as anybody takes what he has received, whether it's one or five or 100, as soon as he takes that and keeps it for himself in fear, we all suffer the consequences. And we can see that happening today. Now, if you look at today's first reading, you see Paul honoring the gifts that the people of Thessalonica have received. You have already been taught how to love. You've been taught by God to love one another. He honors the talent that they have already received. But then he says, but make progress. Don't just sit with your talents. We urge you to progress even more. Progress more in love. You have five talents of love? Well, make five more. Don't bury it. And aspire to live a tranquil life and mind your own affairs and work with your own hands. So do your part. Do your part and we'll all benefit. I think we can take the idea of the talents in another direction. We always start with what we received, like the first step, the raw material. Some get five, some get two, some get one. It doesn't say that some of the servants got nothing. Everyone gets something. But let's go a little further into the game and realize that we're not at the beginning. We're not newborn babies here. Whatever we got, we have already been either using or not using, giving or not giving. So even if we started with one, by now we should have at least doubled it. Or if we had doubled it 10 years ago, by now we should have, we should have four, we should have eight by now. You see, and by the time you get into the game a little bit, it's not that obvious who started with five and who started with two and who started with one. What becomes more obvious is who's doing the investing here, who's participating, who's giving. Think of today's saint, Saint Augustine, or yesterday's saint, Saint Monica, or the saint that influenced them so much, Saint Ambrose. Well, we would say, oh, these people, they got five. They started with five. Ambrose, if you remember the story about Ambrose, I mean, the guy was a natural leader. He was just the kind of person that you want to be in charge of things. And remember, Ambrose, he wasn't even baptized, and they chose him to be bishop. That's how many talents the man had. Augustine, he's a genius. The guy's a genius. He's got a great mind. He didn't do that. That was given to him. He had five talents from birth. Monica, we don't know. But Monica certainly invested everything she had and multiplied it. So what I'm saying is, we might think, yeah, people who got five, they have an unfair advantage. But we don't know, when we look at people who look like they have five now, we don't know what they started with. Maybe they started with two, and they just did a great job of investing it, and now they have 20. Who knows? The servants in the parable are expected to make use of what they receive. However much they receive, they're supposed to use it. And the master rewards those who do what they should do, who are not afraid to invest, who are not afraid to trade, to give. His reaction to the third servant, the master's reaction to the third servant, is very negative. You wicked, lazy servant. You wicked, lazy servant. Is he that wicked? If all he did is put the money in the ground, he didn't do anything wrong. That's how we would react. No, he was wicked and he was lazy. Why? He was selfish. He was judgmental. He gave in to fear. He didn't do the one thing he should do. Now, it's not just about money. Think of the talent, for example, as the gift of love. If we bury love, we're not loving people. No matter how much love we received, if we bury it, we kill it. Or think of the gift of faith. If we bury faith, we're not faithful people. We can kill the effect of faith in our life, even if we receive the great gift. So that's why the reaction of the master is so negative, because this servant has not just offended the master, he's ruined himself. He's deprived himself of the very thing the master wants him to have. This parable is usually applied to Judgment Day. Now, what happens on Judgment Day? Well, we will be judged according to our love. We will not be judged according to what we have received, because that would be unfair, because it has nothing to do with that. We didn't decide that. We're not judged according to what we have received. We're judged according to what we give, what we do with what we receive. And that's fair. That's fair. Everybody has an equal opportunity to love. Everyone has an equal opportunity to give what he has received. The person who has seemingly received very little, you think of a special child or a person with a retardation or a severe disability. Sometimes they're the most loving, most kind, most giving people in the whole neighborhood. And then we realize, oh, it's not about receiving. It's all about giving. Okay, Saint Augustine is today's saint. Saint Augustine, for years, did not get this. Yeah, he was gifted, and he developed his gifts, but because he didn't, for a long time, discover what he was supposed to do with those gifts, he was unsettled. He was restless. It's a divine restlessness, because we should never be settled in things that are not God. So he tried lots of things. He tried pleasure. He tried honor. He tried various philosophies, Platonism, Manichaeism, different religious schools. He didn't meet the master until he was 33 years old. I remember our founders, Father Francis and Sister Barbara, talking about the gift of faith. Father Francis had a great grace of conversion when he was in his 20s. Sister Barbara met the Lord when she was 2 years old. And so in their discussion, they said, well, isn't that something? Some people have the gift of faith when they're very young. Some people don't experience conversion until they're in their 20s. St. Augustine was 33. Well, is that fair? That's not the question. That's the question. What do you do with what you receive, no matter when you receive it? Augustine, he ran the race. Once the light was turned on, man, he became a source of light. However many talents he started with, he multiplied them. Now, he didn't just get 5 more. He got 105 more. And the church is still benefiting from the treasure of Augustine's thought and life, teaching, insight. It's just extraordinary how much we still receive from Augustine, great doctor of the church. Okay, well, maybe that's enough enough to tell us don't get envious of Augusta or Ambrose or Monica. Don't get envious of anybody. That's a modern preoccupation that someone is going to have it better because they receive more. Whatever we receive, give it. Give it freely. Give it without fear. Let it be multiplied by God's great gift. And then we'll all benefit.